No, it comes in hadith that there will be a time where people will be holding on to faith, will be like holding on to hot coal. That أَصْبَحَ مُؤْمِنَ وَأَمْسَى كَافِرَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. That people will wake up a mu'min and they'll go to sleep as a kafir. You know, and people think that, how is that possible? But I tell you, you really go out in the world and you see what's going on out there. People go, ajeeb khayalat. Right, people who are alim, people who have studied deen, people who have worked on themselves, they're just walking one day and some weird thought comes in. And then they feel that the iman is, I get these calls from people born in Muslim households, They're like, I'm worried about my iman. Right? Where does it come from? Right? Shuk and then argument and I don't understand this. I was sitting in this one, it just sometimes takes one sentence from your college professor that, religion is dogma. That's it. Person's iman down the drain. Right? Entire class is iman down the drain. It took one, in undergrad, I took a class on Joyce and postmodernism. I don't know if people know about Joyce, but he was actually a Joyce scholar. That's what he was. He specialized in Joyce. James Joyce is one of the literary geniuses, right, of modern times. Very difficult works. We had to write these papers, and I tried to write my paper on Islam and postmodernism or something like this. And so when he came, you're young and you have josh, and it's like you want to give dawah to everyone, right? Which is the way you should be, but he loses josh. So he came and then I gave him my paper, and he gave me a B on the paper or something like that. I just couldn't imagine because I thought it was a solid paper. I went to him, and talked about, tried to use all these different literary techniques and all this, and so I actually had a meeting with him afterwards. And I was just talking to him, talking about this, that, and the other, and then he just had one sentence. He said, if it's really so clear that Islam is the truth, then why doesn't everyone just believe it? If it's so clear that it's true. And that one statement was enough to throw an unbewitting young college student into a turmoil for almost a year and a half. Right, almost a year and a half. One statement. People asbaha mu'mina wa amsa kafira. You wake up as a mu'min, right, and you go to sleep as a kafir. So iman is not something, particularly in this day and age, that we should take for granted. The second slide, you can think about it. It's not actually separate slides. It's like all one part. It's like one slide with four different lanes. So the other slide is amal salihah, that you do good deeds. If a person is thinking, how do I protect my iman? This is how you protect your iman. Right? They say the best offense is a good defense. So your good defense is by doing good deeds. A person should be kathirul khair. And there's two fallacies that sometimes people fall into. One fallacy that people sometimes succumb to is they think that I have a good heart. I don't need to do good deeds. Right? I don't need to do this prayer thing. I'm a good person. I love Allah. I love His Rasul. You might have love for Allah. You might have love for His Rasul. Who am I to judge? But one thing that we do know for sure is that when a certain reality exists within the heart, it finds expression on the limbs. Right? You can't have a certain state within you and hide it from the rest of the world. What you are, the decisions you make, the way you think, the things that you do, that is a reflection of what your heart is. And if a person thinks that they are something other than what is going on inside here, then that's just, they're just tricking themselves. Right? A person says, I have a lot of haya. Right? I have a tremendous amount of haya. And when they say that, they mean like, a sister might be meaning, I would never date a guy. Right? I don't do hijab, but I would never date a guy. Which is great. It takes a certain amount of haya not to do that. But when haya is overflowing in the heart that you cannot contain it, it will find expression. Physically. Right? If people had the haya, Fatima radiallahu anha, she told her husband, when you take out my body after I pass away, take it out in the night so that no one can see it. She's already a person of fully covered. She's going to be completely cloaked. She's already passed away, and she says, take it out in the night so no one can see me. That's what happens when it overwhelms the heart. It has to. I mean, which person, you know, like, you know, when you're parenting, and you see you have a teenager, right? It's very easy to sort of see the telltale signs that something is going on in their life, right? So they fall in love with a girl or something like that, start acting a little bit funny. They want to hide. They can hide the numbers. They can hide all the texts. They can delete all the history. They can do all that, but they can't hide the giddiness, right? The little, jump in their step that they have when they get into the house, that you can't hide, right? And if you're looking for it, you pick it up like this, right? If you're looking for it, you're like, huh, right? I know what's going on. Or, you know, something's bothering them, you know, they're acting a little bit edgy. You know something's going on. Something affects the heart, it has a physical manifestation. So that's the first thing, that we can't be deluded to think that there's not a reciprocal relationship there. How does this tie in with wal asr, like good deeds? This is actually like the bulk of the talk. I don't know what time do we start, like 8:30? We started at like 8:30, right? 8:20 or so? Okay. Maybe we'll stop like, I don't know, 9:15. We're not gonna get through it. It's just, that's already given. We'll get through some of it. No, it's been, I think the riwayah is from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and it's in Bayhaqi, that when the people of Jannah will have only one regret, right? And their only regret will be that moment that they spent in their life that was empty of zikr. See, time is all you have, this, you know, very set amount of time is the only commodity that you have to actually earn good deeds. And our highest predecessors were so particular about their time. Allahu Akbar Kabira. That would just be story after story after story. But we look into our lives and we see how recklessly, how blatantly, how shamelessly we completely take our life and throw it down the gutter. If a person were just to, do you know how much, like, the average kid watches like 3 hours and 26 to 27 minutes of TV a day, right? If you take all the time that you spend reading the newspaper, and you take the amount of minutes, right, at the end of every, you know, the people of taqwa, they have, there's different levels. So some people, you know, my teacher doesn't call the cell phone a cell phone, he calls it the hell phone. Because he said after that, you know, after this came into existence, you know, it seems like shaitan just went on vacation. Because it's really sad. You see so many people get into illegitimate relationships. And, I mean, good people, you know, not the people who are like, you know, off the deep end, but like regular people that just, you know, shaitan takes you and then they end up, like I just had a recent case that came up, and it's just very sad how people sort of fall off the cliff and they start flirting and one thing leads to another and then you're lonely and this person gives you attention. And you're like, my husband doesn't do that. And then one thing leads to another and before you know it, I mean, it's really sad. So sometimes people don't use that, the phone for that, right? Some people, you know, they start talking, and you know, my teacher would say there's only so long a person can talk before they end up saying something wrong, right? Man samata naja, Rasulullah says, and we know that whoever speaks, whoever keeps silent, they've been saved, they've been rescued. There's all, like, you know, you look at a couple of guys who sit together. Hey man, what's going on? Nothing much, bro. What you doing? Nothing. How was your day? Same old, same old. Then after like 1 or 2 minutes, you have nothing to say, right? Because you talked about everything yesterday, and whatever happened yesterday, since yesterday till today, nothing really changed, and then you see the same person the next day. There's nothing really to talk about, right? You've sort of exhausted everything that's happened. And then you start pulling, but the nafs loves to talk, right? So then you start pulling, and there's only after a certain amount of time before you start talking about things that you shouldn't be talking about. But I'll tell you, there's people who don't even do that. And maybe you use phones for completely responsible reasons, for completely good purposes. There's still individuals who actually look at the phone and at the end of the month when they see how many minutes they actually spent talking even to people who is completely permissible for them to talk to. For example, their own family or their own mother. They feel bad because they said that was how much time I could have spent conversing with Allah. Right? And that is a source of regret for them. That's a source of their istighfar. that I spent so much time, 1,000 minutes, that 1,000 minutes I could have been spending, no, alhamdulillah. People do go over on their minutes, right? They have 1,000 minutes, they have 2,000 minutes, they have to get unlimited plans even though they don't want to spend $150 or $200 a month. Like, there's no way, because we go over month after month and we can't afford the overages, so they have to pay for it. And that's a completely lost opportunity. You know, there's the story of one of our pious predecessors. So his students or people used to notice that he used to eat wheat, but he used to eat the wheat raw. Right? He would just like take it in. And people were somewhat perplexed. They said, "No, Hazrat, if you to put some water and mix it with it, at least you know it will go down a little bit easy." And he said that calculated the time that it takes to mix the water and prepare it and take it in. He said, "In that much time, I can do this much extra zikr. I don't want to waste my time. Right? I don't want to waste my time." I remember our Shaykh al-Hadith, who used to teach us Bukhari. Allahu Akbar. I mean, talk about valuing time. He would teach us Darsi Bukhari. Right? He would go through the class. Then he would sit in the class and he's waiting for the next teacher to come. Sometimes the teacher's running a little bit late. He wouldn't just sit there waiting for the next teacher to come or look over the next day thing. He would get off, like for example, here's where his takhat is, where he gave the dars. He would sit down, he would turn around, and he would start offering his nafil salah until the next teacher came, and then he would leave. This is a person who teaches like hadith the whole week, and like every week, and Allah SWT calls him to the haram. Right? I remember when we had gone to the haram recently, I took like a wrong turn. Not a wrong turn. My daughter was like, "Baba, I want to see that toy." And I like went to go see that toy. And then I turned around and someone said, "Moli Sahab." I turned around and there he was, right, in the haram. Like, this was a person, one time he was, I think, in some African country and there was like too much of a layover, maybe like a 24-hour layover or something like that. His flight was delayed. So he chartered a flight, or he got a flight, he flew to the haram, right? He made umrah. Then he got a cab driver, he said, "Drive me to Medina." The guy's like, "I'm too tired." He said, "I'll drive you." He got him in the car, he drove to Medina, he did ziyarah, he came back to Mecca, he did another umrah, he flew back and he got his flight out to wherever he had to go to. Right? These were people who really valued their time. They saw, like my own teacher, I would see him, subhanAllah, work so much for the deen. Like, you see him work so much, so much, so much. Like, Dars aa jata tha, Hazrat, you need to take some rest. And sometimes students would actually go to him and they say, Hazrat, just take some rest, sleep for a little while. And he said, "Don't worry, we'll rest in the grave." I can remember, I haven't spent much time with him, but the times that I can remember when I was sitting with him, he would sit with me, he was like literally about to like fall off. Right? He'd keep a smile on his face, he'd try to be very congenial, but you could tell that he was pushing himself, right? And I had like prepared this whole like list of things to discuss, and there's this issue to discuss, and this, and how do you treat with these problems in society, and this and that. And I would just look at him, and I was like, wow. You want to give him rest, but then even when he's done with you, he's going on to the next person, and there's the next person, and then it's the next person, and it's the next person. And touching people's lives one by one, that's what it means to value your time. I mean, to take value of every single moment and don't deem any action to be small. Right? It's not like you have to pray 200 rakat nafils. Whatever you're doing in your life, just make the best out of it. If you're walking around, just smile. Right? Just smile. Smile more. You'll feel better. They say it takes more muscles to frown than it takes to smile. Right? People who study anatomy maybe can corroborate that or not. Right? But subhanAllah, just smiling, right? There's a sadaqah. Like, don't miss, we know from hadith, and the hadith is replete with examples trying to motivate people to always be in kathirul khairat, right? Just always trying to do good things as much as possible. Don't lose an opportunity to do good. Right? Like, protect yourself from the fire, even if it be what? With like a date seed, right? Or even with a shoelace, right? You just, whatever you can do, try to protect yourself from, the hellfire. One of our akabir, one time he had some meal at his house. And so people generally would eat on the ground, and they would spread the duster. And he said that the person said, "No, Hazrat, can I clean up the duster?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you know how to do it?" He said, "Yeah, yeah, I know how to clean the duster." So he cleaned up the duster. You know, the duster is like the tablecloth that they put on the floor that you eat on. So he cleaned it up, and he was about to get ready. He's like, "What are you doing?" He said, "You don't know how to take care of it." And so what he did is he gathered all the crumbs, right? He gathered, I think there's maybe watermelon peels or something. He took those and he gave those to certain animals. And he took all the crumbs and he gave those to the ants. And he said, "Look, in this one action that you just to throw it away, how many good deeds you've passed up, right? That you were able to benefit even the ants on the face of the earth." Right? Our pious predecessors didn't see any action as small. Any action is small. And the best actions are those that are most consistent, even if they وَإِن قَلَّ even if they be مَا دَامَ وَإِن قَلَّ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ even if they be little. If you want to do a lot of good deeds, we'll stop in 10 minutes. If you want to do a lot of good deeds, then the first thing that you are going to want to do is you're going to have to value your time. Right, and value it significantly. They say that if you ever want to know what the value of 1 year is, ask someone ask someone who failed his oracle exam, right, and they have to repeat that year, right, and they're like 3 credits away from graduating, and it sets them like 1 whole year off cycle, and now they have to take the MCATs late, and they can't apply, and they're like, "Man, just one class, right, one class, and I could have entire year of their life is gone." And they say, if you want to know the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to her child a month early. Right? And you see those kids in the ICU. Right? They're like in these little incubators. And you know, it's just subhanAllah. 1 month, right? And then their lungs would have been making enough surfactant that it could, you know, support the lung. And like the mortality after you get, I think, like at least when I was back in med school, like I think at 30 or 31 weeks, it's not very different after that point from, you know, if a woman delivers that term. But if it's before that, you know, it's critical. Right now it's critical. And if you want to know the value of like maybe a minute, right, ask a person who's missed the train. It's happened to me before. Right, you're catching the Amtrak to go to Chicago. You're there, you're getting your ticket, and you see the train leaving in front of your eyes. There's nothing you can do to bring it back. Right. If you want to know the value of like even a millisecond, ask the person who won a silver medal in the Olympics. They put 20 years of their life training and they lost it by a millisecond. Right? I mean, time has value. And then once you start to value time, when you start to see time as something that is important, then it becomes automatic that you start to make use of it. Imam Shafi rahimullah, he said that al-waqtu sayfun illam taqta bihi tuqta, aw kama qala, that he said that no, time is a sword. If you don't cut with it, it will cut you. And so the best thing that a person can do is to be busy. And this is the other thing that really busy in doing good deeds. And this is the other thing that sometimes people really fall off the wagon with is that laziness. And this is one of the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually sought refuge from min al-hammi wal-huzni wasu'l-harami wal-kasl, aw kama qala. That he, that's not the exact wording, but one of the things that he sought refuge from was from kasl, from laziness. Right? That person should have nashat. Person should have energy. Now, I'll tell you, I worked with this one attending at the University of Chicago on one of these medical review products that's sort of, you know, it's gone viral across the nation. It's one of the top review materials that they have for the USMLE. And like, I mean, that phase of my life was just, it was like a blur. It was like a whirlwind. And we were working, I mean, he was attending, I was a resident, I was taking my boards, I'm worried about boards, but it was just like nonstop. It was to the extent that his wife delivered in the other room, like minutes ago, right? And he would come to the room, he says, "Let's go, we're having a meeting," right? And we'd be going and editing, right? I mean, it was days, nights, just like it was just like nonstop. And I didn't know, like you think that you're hardworking, I didn't know what the meaning of hard work is until I saw him, the way that he worked. And he said that when he went with his teacher, I asked him after he came back, how was it? He said, you know, it sounds sort of bad that I'm saying this, but I'm sort of glad to be back, right? And he's young. He's like in his 30s or maybe like early 40s. And his teacher's in his 60s. So he said, I feel sort of bad, but, you know, saying this, but I'm sort of glad to be back. And I was like, why? Like, no, why? And he said that it was hard to keep up with him. Because he was just going at such, he had so much energy, right? So much, they're just trying to keep up with him, you just burn yourself out. Right? And you see that with, I mean, Rasulullah ﷺ, in the nights he's in ibadah, in the days he's in the service of mankind. When did this man rest? I mean, he sacrificed everything for the ummah. And these are two things that, I mean, while the stark reality is, like, most people who are both speaking this and who are listening to this may never achieve those ideals of working that hard. One of the things that we have completely in our hands, is making use of our free time, right? And so maybe that's a good message to end off on. That نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ كَمَا قَالَ. That there are two ni'mas that most people are completely ripped off, and everyone hates to get ripped off. I remember when, before I was going to South Africa, we had saved for so long, right? I mean, like, we're saving, scrounging pennies to go, and then we're like 6 months before going, and like I had this one car, like we had like a whole slew of cars, malfunction after malfunction, and I saw a Camry, right? And I think the Camry was selling for like $2,000 or $3,000, which is a big thing for us at that time because you're still a med student and you don't have much money to your name. And the idea was, okay, you know, I have 6 months, I'll buy a car, it'll carry me at least 6 months, I don't have to worry about car repairs or something like that, and then when we're leaving, I'll leave it with someone and they'll sell it off. And what happened is, so I bought the car, and like the second or third day I found out it was a lemon, right? Like the engine was gone. And it really hurt because those are $3,000 that you really worked for, like, you know, really sacrificed for, and now that's like, how are you going to go? No, Allah, alhamdulillah, and then he made a way. But you know, you hate getting ripped off, right? It hurts. But people get ripped off all the time, and they particularly get ripped off when it comes to two things, that your health and in your free time. So in the spirit of wal asr, just look into your life and see what you're doing with your time, right? And the things that don't matter, they really don't matter, right? Just cut them out, right? People say that I don't have time for salah, and people say I don't have time to study, and people say I don't have time for Quran, and people say I don't have time for deen, and people say that I don't have time for Allah, right? Cut out these. When I had emailed my teacher with a schedule, right? I don't think he even looked at the schedule. He said, just cut out all the things that you don't need in your life, your schedule will fall into place. And that's the reality of it. If you look into your life and you see all the things that a person is doing that you don't need to do, right? You don't need to do, cut those things off and see how radically transformed your life is. Radically transformed. You will see, like, you know, and I'll end with the story or anecdote. So we've had i'tikaf for, you know, year after year after year. This i'tikaf this year, at least in Chicago, was a little bit unique in which there were certain ground rules. And one of the ground rules was that you couldn't bring a cell phone. Right? You couldn't bring your cell phone into the i'tikaf. It's so weird, right? Because like that's like your lifeline. It's like a pacemaker. Like you get up and like you don't feel it. You're like, what's going on? You can't leave the house without it. It's just like death. So people had to like leave it in a bin. When you enter into a masjid, you can't have a cell phone. But by the time that people were a couple of days into it, right, people didn't want it back, right? They felt like, you know, people who are shackled, and you like take off the shackles, the way when you feel really free, it feels good, right? It feels really good. And if you take off the shackles of the things which are meaningless, the things which are dead weight, the things which are distractions, the things that are standing as obstacles between you and Allah in your life, then immediately you will find yourself with opportunities, with venues, with avenues to create a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's really sort of the purview of this weekend is how do you create, you know, a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the first take-home message is just value your time. Right? Just value your time. The advice is to me first and foremost, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who are able to, you know, value their time, who are able to get on the right slides and slide off this plane that is crashing, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immortalize us amongst the people of Jannah. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.